We'd first of all like to just congratulate the church for 20 years of watching what the Lord can do when we let Him. It's so important that we just remain sort of yielded to the Lord. He's got a plan that He wants to fulfill, a work that He has that He wants to do. But God uses human instruments. And so I can remember when Lisa and came, she was my secretary, and said that she and Jack were going to start a Bible study out in this Chino area. And I remember when the study started and how that it outgrew the house before very long. In fact, in those early years, it was just remarkable how God was, as the scripture said, adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The early church began with just Bible studies. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, which is Bible study, in the fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And that's what they started out here. Just it was a beautiful time of fellowshipping, breaking of bread together, and prayer. And God, as He did in the book of Acts, added to the church daily such as should be saved. And to see that that remarkable work of God has not stopped, but continues to go. And it's so thrilling to just watch what God has in mind all the time. He had this all in mind. We had no idea. I mean, it was just, you know, if you had told us what God was going to be doing, we would have just laughed and said, you know, you've been sniffing the wrong stuff, you know. But just to realize what God has done and to see it today. Congratulations. What a blessing to just be able to congratulate you on what the Lord has wrought in this area. And I remember when Jack was, you know, talking to me about the ministry years ago, and I used to always say to a fellow when he would come in to want to, you know, get in the ministry or whatever, I'd say, well, go teach the children. And I said, if you can learn to communicate God's truth to the kindergartners or whatever, you'll be able to communicate God's truth to everybody. And so what a great training grounds that is. And if any of you are interested in the ministry, I'd suggest that you just come and tell Pastor Jack you want to teach Sunday school. And that'll get you started, because learning to communicate to these wiggly kids, and if you can hold their attention and bring God's truth to them, you're ready for the ministry, and God will just, you know, bless it, because He blesses His Word, and that's the important thing. And thus, staying with the Word of God, teaching the Word of God, making it understandable, making it exciting, and of course, that's surely Pastor Jack's gift, is making the Word of God exciting. And I know that you have experienced that while you've been here in the church. So God bless you on your 20th. And I don't know how many more we'll have. But at least until He does come, we just expect to see the continued blessings of God and the work of His Holy Spirit in and through the ministry here. And of course, isn't it exciting how that what God began here gradually goes out and out and out until you reach the ends of the world? And how exciting is the mission ministry of the church here? And, you know, again, it's just following the book of Acts. They started out in, as Jesus said, you'll be witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And to just watch how God has done that here. Every place where, you know, it starts, that's the place, that's the Jerusalem. But then it soon goes out to the Judea, and then into the Samarias, and now works all over the world. Isn't that exciting? And what a thrill to see it. So basically, you are our Judea. But, you know, you take it back a step, and so you are our Judea, and what a thrill to see what God is doing in Judea, as far as we're concerned, Jerusalem, as far as you're concerned. God bless and make it a beautiful, exciting day as you just celebrate what God has done over the last 20 years.
Well, we want to do that because whenever God does a work, he does a thing with his people. And throughout scripture, the Lord, for example, laid it upon the heart of Jacob or Abraham to set up a memorial. When God began to speak, they would assemble stones, or where there was a great moment in the life of one of the patriarchs of God, they would set up stones or an altar and dedicate the moment to the place to the Lord because God had intervened in life. And God has intervened in our lives. And he's done something that it's very fun for me to stand here and to say over and over again, it's something that we never planned. It's something that we never embarked upon. We had no idea. And you heard a little bit about that last week regarding God's faithfulness, that he has been faithful, amazingly faithful. And we're so grateful to him for that. And today we're going to be talking about his generosity. God is so generous. I cannot think of a more generous God in all of the universe than the God that would send his only son from heaven to earth for you and I. How can you measure God's generosity when his own son was sent to die on the cross for our sins, to pave the way for you and I to go to heaven? God did that in his generosity. And I look around here, and for those of you who were with us back in 2003, when we moved into the building in the fall of that August, September of 2003, the generosity that God laid upon the hearts of his people is amazing to me. In the lifespan of this church, have you ever seen a thermometer on the platform of how much more money we need for this or that? No. Did we ever, pass the plate a second time? Worship's the first time. That's from your heart. Oh, no, let's play the piano and pass the plate again. No. Why? Because God has been amazingly generous in and through his people. Ladies, have you used the women's bathroom at all here? Isn't it beautiful there? So how do you know? Because I've been in there. Because a friend of ours supplied the granite and the tile for the women's bathroom. He goes to Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, but he loved what was going on out here, and the Lord laid it on his heart to provide that. Have you walked down the hall? Look how beautiful the hallways. You walk down the hallways. God did that. You see that wild, awesome 2,000-pound Jerusalem stone from Jerusalem in the foyer? Friends of this ministry did that. You see that menorah, I think it's 1935 or whenever it was carved, whenever it was made. God did that. That's a museum piece that's been provided for us from Jerusalem. You look around this place, and I understand when you pull up for the first time, you might think, oh my goodness, that church. In fact, I get emails from people who don't even go here. They'll send me an email and they say, you should be ashamed of yourself having a church that nice. Oh my gosh, wait a minute. I understand where they're coming from. But they don't even know what they're talking about. When I think about that, for example, again, a contractor who worked this site, didn't even go to church here, donated over $1 million worth of cement. Oh yeah, wow. How does that happen? By a generous God being generous in the lives of his people who thus turn around and they're generous of hearts. And how do you reach the world when the church is 1.5 years old? How is it that we've got three trips to Russia in 18 months to spread the gospel to the Russian people because Bill Bright calls up Chuck Smith and says, the walls come down, the wall, the iron curtain's down. And Pastor Chuck picks up the phone and calls Calvary Chapels and says, get there quick. We didn't even know what we were doing. 12 of us got in an airplane. We grabbed the Knutson milk carton and headed off to Russia. Little did we know that God was going to use us to start a church there that's meeting today still. How does he do that? By the generosity of his people. And we are a generous people because God's been generous to us. And I want to put this challenge out to you this morning as we look to these points. The fact that our God is always generous and he'll never stop being generous, even in an economic downturn like the world is going through right now. You want to know why? God's church is not tied to this market value economy. He's not tied to the currency of this universe, this world, and by the whims of men. God will do his work with or without the blessings of the world. God can build temples with or without kings of Tyre or kings of Lebanon or whatever in the Old Testament. He can do whatever he wants. And we stand here today as a church and as a church family blown away with the things that God has done. That's why it's our theme verse. It's 2 Corinthians 10:13. We, however, Paul said, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the field God has assigned to us, a field that reaches even to you. I'm completely blown away that verse. Remember, we had that verse last week. Church family, listen, how does this happen? But by the generosity of God. You and I looked at that verse last week regarding God's faithfulness. And I was meeting this week with the Miller family. And if they're here right now, it will mean a lot to them. It means a little bit to you. But remember this. Last week we talked about his faithfulness. You heard Mark and Mary say on video, on camera, we just did what needed to get done. We had willing hearts. Generous hearts. So I was talking to the Miller family in a meeting in my office. And I said, you know what? All we do is we pray, Lord, whatever you want to do, use us, whatever that thing is that you want to do. And Lord, every day, will you do something that causes our hearts and our minds to be excited? Show us something. Reveal something to us that encourages us, Lord, that we're making a difference. Well, we had talked about that. Little did I know that within 24 hours, on a Friday, some men would show up at this office this last Friday. This is the kind of God we serve, a generous God. These are men who don't go to church here, but they are men of means, if you know what I mean. They have power and wealth. And they said, we listen to the programming. We know what goes on here at this church. And we want to take what's happening here, and we want permission from you to shoot a satellite up into space and to broadcast the messages that come out of this church. This is on their heart. Jaw dropping. What? God answering the prayer that I shared with the Miller family this week. He did it in less than 24 hours. God, encourage us. Show us something. Speak to us. How does this happen? But by God's generosity in your life and my life. Is he not faithful? You say, well, Jack, I've got a lot to complain about. Listen, we will always have stuff to complain about. Okay? I'm a little too big for my pants. I could complain about that. What is it in your life? There's always something to complain about. We're not in heaven yet. Listen, if we didn't have anything to complain about, if everything was just perfect, then we wouldn't want heaven so much. But I'm looking forward to heaven to get into my pants. I think I'll be a 32 in heaven. But until that time comes, God is blessing his people if we, as Pastor Chuck just said a moment ago, keep the word of God, teach the word of God, honor the word of God, because you can't get into the Bible without exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart breaks for America because we see a nation in pulpits, in churches that are departing from the exaltation of the word of God. And when we get away from exalting the word of God, we're getting actually away from exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to show you four things this morning that I think is vital to the next generation of believers, because this is what we remember. And I'm laughing about that, because I don't know about you. When people talk about, well, let's sit down and remember. You know, when you get old, you talk about stuff the way it was. I see my kids doing it now. Lisa and I are 50-ish. She's 29 and I'm 50. And I'm 52. She's 29. That's what it is. And for those of you who are visiting, I didn't marry a 29-year-old. She's older than 29. But now I know, when we sit around, I start to see the eyes of my kids. We're talking, well, do you remember this? And some friends will come by. Do you remember when? And our kids, I notice they just kind of mosey off into the next room. Do you remember going on vacation? I had to go on vacation. Actually, vacations were fine until we got to the relative's house. The dreaded relative's house visits. Why? Because my dad would say, you sit here at this table and listen. You're 9 years old. And they sit there, they got their coffee, and they're talking about, well, whatever happened to Uncle Billy Bop anyway? Who cares? When you're a kid, this is torture. This is a type of child abuse. Well, do you remember when? Kids don't care about remember when. Kids are in the now, baby. It's happening. We don't have a remember when. We're not that old yet. But listen, for those of you who are young, if you're 30 years of age and younger, you need to listen to this. We're telling you what God has done so that you can get excited about what He's going to do in your life. We're not the first generation to come along, and we're not the last generation to be. But for our generation, we can proclaim the wonderful works of God and His amazing faithfulness. God has been so good to us. Number one, by the calling. He's always been generous to provide the calling. God told Joshua when Joshua was being called, Moses is now dead. And in Joshua chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, what does God say to Joshua? Listen to these words. These are great words for the next generation of believers as we celebrate our 20th anniversary today. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. I don't know about you, but them fighting words. Huh? Isn't that the word of like a general? And obviously this is God the general speaking to General Joshua. And God says to him, hey, nobody's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Young generation, no one will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Let's keep reading. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You know what my Bible tells me? That God's not a respecter of persons. If He's going to be with Joshua as He was with Moses, then God must be with me. He must be with you. You've got to understand that. He goes on. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Listen to this command. Be strong and of good courage. That's Joshua's marching orders. For to this people you shall be divided as an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Look at verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. That you may, note this, prosper wherever you go. That's what God wants. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Watch this. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success, God says. That is the key. You know that old movie? I never saw the movie, but I guess it came from a movie where some guy built a baseball field in his cornfield. And somebody said something about if you build it, how's it go? If you build it, they will come. That's a bad way to build a church. Don't build it and then hope people come. You want to build a church. You want to build your family. You want to see that those beautiful string of young parents up here a moment ago. You want those kids to prosper in the things of God. Listen, don't build them a house per se. Give them a reason to live in the house. Give them God. Give them Jesus. Give them the Word of God. Because everything else is fleeting. Everything else is vanishing away. But the Word of God abides forever. And you instill in these young people, if the Lord doesn't come back for us, this is the next generation that we were looking at, those kids. Can you imagine? And if the Word of God is in them, that is the ultimate investment for these parents and for you and I, to get the Word of God out. And here's the great thing about being the Christian that you are. It doesn't matter what country they're in. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what status of life they're living at, as long as they have the Word of God. Think about that for a moment. It's the Word of God. God has called all of us to be involved in many glorious challenges. And one of those things is to get the Bible, the message of the cross, to the ends of the earth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, He said, I have all authority and I've given you this command. Go therefore into all the world and preach this gospel. And that's what we're to be doing. Now look, get ready. I'm going to ask you this question. Be careful. Don't raise your hand unless you're sure. How many of you today are Christians? Raise your hand. There's a whole lot of you. Imagine right now, if just in this service, forget about the next service and forget about the last service, just this service. If you and I, with passion and commitment, decided right now, that's it. I'm going to do everything within my power to get the gospel to the ends of the earth. What would happen? Last night, I had a chance to gather with some people who are the leaders in California for Christian Release Time Education. What's the passion? To get the Word of God to the kids in school. And the difference that it makes. We heard the difference that it makes in the lives of people. The Bible will change their lives forever. The calling that's upon our lives, Jesus says, is make disciples. How do you do that? Give them the Word of God, the Bible. So here's the thing. You don't build the building and people come. The truth is, preach the Word of God and people will come. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They'll follow me. What is his voice to the 21st century? Right here in the pages of the Bible. This is the Word of God. As I said last week, this does not contain the Word of God. This is the Word of God. And the Bible says that when the word is presented, God's people will respond to it. And you've responded. And not only us, but it's gone beyond us. And we're so grateful. It's the generosity of hearts that have been touched by God that respond to the call. Now you think about this for a moment. As this church was coming together, and I speak most recently, when this building was being built and things, there would be contractors, as I mentioned earlier, they would show up and they would see and get the feel and get the vibe and see that we're serious about the things of God. And they would begin to give to this work. Unsolicited, people contacting us and saying, we don't live in your state. We heard about your church. And we want to help support. I don't know whatever became of this, but to show you how strange that can be, I say strange in a wonderful way, strange. I had a man come up to me one time and say, I don't go to this church, but God told me to do this. Do what? He said, I'm buying this many dollars of this particular stock. This is what I do. And I'm going to dedicate this to the whatever it makes. I think it crashed and burned and the company went out of business. But the guy said, I'm going to dedicate whatever it makes to tithing at Calvary Chapel. Generosity. God's calling in our lives. God has called this church to be a non-spectator church. And you get challenged here. And there's opportunities for you to be involved both here and around the world. And I saw Dave and Darlis before second service, who are taking a break as they're expecting a grandchild any moment. They're here right now. They've left the work in Haiti since the earthquake. They've been pouring their lives into the Haitian people. And Dave has been building things and rebuilding things. And Darlis has been reaching out to the women of Haiti. But you can say that about other countries. There's people from this church in Europe and Asia, South America. It's an amazing thing. Why? Because hearts are touched by the calling of God. And when God calls often a man or a woman to be involved, I've noticed, as you've noticed, he calls the family. It's pretty amazing. Second thing is this. He's been so generous to provide vision. The Lord is a God of vision. I don't remember what program it was this last week. There was several, but it was either, it doesn't matter, but there's a radio program, and they were asking whoever the radio host was, what's going on there at the church? And I said, too much for us to keep up with. Maybe you heard that broadcast on the radio. I said, too much for us to keep up with. We're trying to keep up with Jesus. And I don't know about you, but wherever Jesus is moving, as I said before, that's where I want to be. And I know that's where you want to be. And so we're doing everything we can to keep up with Jesus. Why? Because he's so generous. He's given us the lost. I heard this week that a young lady didn't go through with an abortion because the Women's Care Center, and she didn't commit that murder against that child and decided to save the baby's life. Why? Because of your generosity. Praying, giving, caring. A church. It's amazing. It is awesome. And I shouted, as Paul said, I won't boast beyond my limits. I'll be careful to boast about those things that the Lord has put in our field. Well, let me tell you something. God has put a lot in our field. And we never asked for it. You saw Pastor Chuck a moment ago regarding calling and vision. God has been so good that when he was calling, because God had the vision to do a work here, what you may not know is that when this home Bible study grew and we're meeting on Sunday mornings now and Wednesdays and we've got ministries and I'm working a full-time job and you should see the family photos. As I mentioned to you before, I look like a zombie. I look like a drug you. I look like a pastor on drugs. I had black rings around my eyes. I hardly slept for a couple years as this thing was growing. It was crazy. And that's what Chuck was referring to, because I went to his, I actually called and I said, Carol, I need to talk to Pastor Chuck. And she goes, well, hang on a second. And I heard this little click, and then Chuck goes, hello. I said, Pastor Chuck, this is Jack. I need to talk to you. Things are out of control in Chino Hills. And he goes, be here at lunchtime. Well, what does that mean? What time does he take lunch? Now, I was working at a research lab just across the street from John Wayne Airport. It's just down the street from where Calvary Costa Mesa is. Getting there's no problem, but what time do I get there? So I just got up. I went. I had to go. I'm waiting. I don't know when he takes a lunch. So I'm waiting. And so Carol goes, yeah, come on in. And I go in there and I sit down, telling him, Pastor Chuck, this is what's going on. And there's too many people. And this is what's happening. And this is what's going on. And I'm just whining. And Chuck is amazed. I said, he's a man of very few words. He's like this. And the scary thing is when you're done talking, he's like this. And you start thinking, did he hear a word I said? Maybe I should start over. Don't start over. And I said, Chuck, in a nutshell, you got to find somebody to take this work over, because I got my thing going on. I got the company I'm working at. It's all going great. I talked about that last week. But you got to do something. Calling and vision. How did he know? How did he know to go like this? Are you watching me? He goes like this. Pushes back from his desk. Gets up, puts his right hand on my right shoulder. He's facing this way. I'm facing this way. He says, Lord, bless what's happening in Chino Hills. You get all the glory, God, in Jesus' name. Now watch, in Jesus' name. My eyes were closed. He didn't say amen. I'm like this. His door shuts. He's gone. He leaves the room. For real. He's gone. So I'm thinking, okay, he's probably getting, you know, a book for me. He's getting, you know, maybe he's getting lunch for us. I'm waiting. Looking around. He's got cool stuff in his office. Looking around. Carol opens the door and says, Pastor Chuck went to lunch. The meeting's over. Okay, I guess it's over. Accomplished nothing in the meeting. This guy's famous, man. Billy Graham calls him. Hey, he didn't give me nothing. A lot of help. Now I have no instruction. I'm hungry. All my lunch hour is gone. And I got to go back to work. And 2 weeks later, I get an envelope in the mail. And I open it up, and it says, do not bend. That's weird. I open it up, and it's beautiful. Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa ordination certificate signed by the board and Pastor Chuck. And I looked at this, and I picked up the phone. And I called Odin Fong. You guys remember Odin Fong, anybody? Mustard Seed Faith, Odin Fong? I said, what is this? He goes, what's what? I said, I have this in front of me. What is it? I read it to him. He goes, that's an ordination certificate. What are you, insane? People would die to have this. What's the problem? I said, this is not the plan. This is not the plan. That's not what I met with him about. And he goes, well, apparently, this is what he thinks. Great. And if you think I'm kidding, you ask my wife. I became the biggest opponent to this church. I drove people away. God had a calling and God had a vision, and many times we don't see it. It wasn't the plan, but God is bigger than our plans. Jesus said, go therefore into all the world. But as Chuck said, it starts with a Jerusalem right here in Chino Hills. And God began to do a work. It's pretty amazing. And what God does, I don't know how to say this, but I look around, you guys, as I mentioned before, I look around and this crowd of people, and then you're going to file out another crowd of people, and then Wednesday nights are going to come, and God's blessing. And you saw the babies, and you see the east wing next door being built, because you guys are all cuddly and making babies, and they're all coming here, and that's wonderful. And our prayer is, God, always keep us in the surprise. Don't let this get old school. We pray a prayer. Lord, as a church, now you had to listen to this. Lord, as a church, keep us hand to mouth. You say, well, what do you pray that for? Why don't you pray big? Pray big prayers. Pray. No, that is a big prayer. Confess it. No, don't need to do that. I'm telling you, as I mentioned last week about God's faithfulness from the day of the coffee can on the kitchen table for donuts and coffee, to this moment, God pays the bills. This is not underwritten. This is through your worship. This is because you have recognized by the word of God that God has been generous to you, to me, to us. And we respond. Am I aware of the economy around the world? Yes. Do you think God cares? Nations are broke. California is bankrupt. Do you think God's bankrupt? How is it that churches, there's almost 48% of churches in America are having their properties foreclosed upon because of a lack of support. Ministries are drying up. And God is blessing here. Why? Right here. Okay, and here's the thing. Every month when the board gets the statement of how God is providing, every month our emails back and forth to each other. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? He's too good to us. God is amazing. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean? Did some rich person die? No. We're able to pay the bills and expand the ministry and take care of a single mom who just lost her job and she's got that baby and she needs to have her gas kept on at her house. You do that. We take it seriously. I promised you I'd show you this video clip. Now don't laugh. Okay, this was 2002. It was October 5th, a Saturday morning, 2002. Now you keep your abuse to yourself now. Okay, guys, roll this.
Let's pray.
Father, in Jesus' name we come. We dedicate ourselves unto you. Father, I want to confess that for 99% of the people that have walked into this place today, their heads have been cocked upward, looking up to the roof and looking around, and they're in awe. And you've answered our prayers. But Father, also, for those of us who traffic in and out of this building every day, the most awesome and exciting and wonderful thing this morning is for a few of us to sit back and to watch your people enter into a building and bring life into it. Father, may every foot that crosses this threshold be touched by your Spirit. May every heart know that Jesus Christ is Lord. And may the world give glory to God the Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you this house. Amen. Let's worship. Now keep your eyes on the screen, and I'll just narrate this part right here. And right down the middle aisle, as I told you last week, a cement truck is backing up right now as they're singing, as they're worshiping, as they're leading us. You had to bring your own chair that day. A lot of this place still had piles of dirt around. There's no windows. There's metal hanging. I don't know if the city knew if we were meeting or not. But look at that. There's metal hanging out there. This sanctuary, the cement truck's coming down the middle. Why? Because the last moment for this area, for that foundation to be set, we left an area that I'm standing upon right now where the Word of God, a prayer shawl for significance, those are the retired Gideon Bibles that had been all over the world. We dropped down into the core. That was a prayer shawl because Jesus said, as a symbolic token, Jesus says, my Father's house shall be called the house of prayer. Those are the stones that I told you about that we all, as on a tour in Israel, grabbed from the Palm Sunday path when Jesus said that if my disciples were to be quiet, these stones would cry out. And so the cement truck begins to, look at the people.
By your grace and by your mercy, ever depart from the word of truth. Lord, we pray that you would keep us presenting your word in all things and in every way. And Father, we ask you to anoint us to be the husbands, the pastors, the lovers of our children, of our wives, of our husbands. And Father, that this church would humbly and mercifully do all that you've called. And Father, may you find this place a place where you can bless and do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And Lord, may you find us usable all the days of our lives. And Father, we also ask that you would do a work so great in our midst that this world would know that we could not have done this but God alone. May you only and solely receive all the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was a fun day. That was a fun day. And God, in all of his abundance, you guys, God has been so good to us. When we pray like that together, you have to admit that we're not exactly sure what we mean when we pray like that. Because we're small people. Our God is big. We're small. Lord, use us to touch the world. So, last Wednesday night, by the way, I'm just curious. Do you probably see a few show of hands? How many of you were here last Wednesday night? Raise your hand. A few hands. It was a packed house Wednesday night, as it is. But has God not answered our prayer? Because we were contacted this week by the technology gurus of whoever those people are that do this stuff. And they said, oh, by the way, last Wednesday night, 43,000 people were on live video TV, internet TV, globally. Listen, for 1 hour and 42 minutes, they viewed last Wednesday night's service. 43,000 people were here last Wednesday night. That is absolutely amazing. You say, well, what's that for? So who cares? Listen, we don't care about the number. Let God answer the prayer. If one person's here to glorify God, is he not glorified? If 1,000, if 100,000, is he not glorified? This is what I love about the God that we serve. He's alive. He's the God of the Bible. He's not some knockoff. He's not some make-believe. He's for real. He's the Lord Jesus Christ who came to this world to die on the cross for our sins, which leads us to this quick, glorious point of generosity. God's provided the people, you the people of this church. You heard Mark and Mary last week say, we saw something that needed to be done and we just did it. Nobody waited around to say, well, I don't know if I'm called to that. I shared with this in last service. I'll share it with you. When things were going on, I'm working two jobs. Things are crazy. The church was growing faster than what we could even keep up with it. And I was talking to Raul Reese back then. And Raul Reese said, listen, here's what you need to do. Because I said, I'm working at my job down at Newport Beach. I'm doing this thing. He goes, this is really neat. Listen. He said, stop taking out the trash in the bathroom. Guys, does anybody remember the old building? We had men and women's bathroom, one bathroom. Women had one bathroom. We had 1,000 seats. Not 1,000 toilets. Not 1,000 seats in the toilets. We had 1,000 chairs and one bathroom. People, literally, I'm not kidding, would go to the bathroom before they would come to church. Because you can just forget about using the bathroom. And so I said, I'm about ready to have a heart attack. And Rawl said, stop taking out the trash. What? And I thought, is he nuts? This is terrible advice. It was exactly great advice. Because he said, as long as you keep taking out the trash, no one's going to notice that the trash is overflowing to step up into ministry. Wow. And so, I heard that. And so what happens is, you know how, think about your house for a moment, and you've got teenage kids. And there's the trash can overflowing. It's like, God, please show them the can. Show them the trash and now the mildew forming on the carpet. And you know what happened? Somebody will walk by, watch this. This is how church works. And here's the thing. Why are you saying this now, Pastor Jack? Because it never changes. Listen to me. It never changes. You walk by, hey, that trash can's overflowing. Listen, 10 people will walk by it. And then the 11th person comes by and says, you know what? We need to get that out there and take that to the trash. That is the next pastor or leader or elder or board member. Huh? That's how it works. And you say, well, Pastor, now that the church is big, isn't it great? You're over that hump. Are you kidding me? I am dead serious. You want to know something about a big church? Big needs. Every week, someone's being born and someone's dying. Every other moment, if it's not this church in need, there's churches calling us and saying, can you loan us money? Can you help us out? Needs. Broken homes. Look at all the people here. Marriages being stressed. Kids in trouble. The needs are huge. Here's the danger. The danger is that rule in churchianity that 10% of the people do all the work. It's true. Ask yourself right now, what are you doing here? In what capacity are you serving here? This is the next generation. This is the next vision. This is the next calling. You are the next person. We're not doing this because we're doing church. We're doing this because God's given it to us. And there's going to come a day when we'll give it back to Him. And so this morning you need to be thinking about, do you just attend here or is this your church? Don't look at the address. Don't look at the building. Look at the needs. Pastor Jack, how can I help? What needs to be done? This question went out to the staff this week. Listen. This is the needs that came back. Pastor Jack, we need people who can smile for Jesus. We need people to man the tables when we have events. And we have need of people to man tables. Number two, Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, we need restroom attendants to keep the counters clean. We don't have enough help for that. Now look, you're going to say, I'll pray about that. Let me see if God's calling's on my life for that. Walk by. Do you see a need? When you walk by and you see something, that's God speaking to you. He's saying, you're the one to change. You're the one to serve this body. You know what? What's the deal with the window? The window over there has always got the smudges on it. 25 people walked by and never saw the smudges. God blessed you to be able to see smudges. I'm serious. I see every crooked frame in a house. That's me. God has blessed me with leveling frames. I'll go to a restaurant, your frame's crooked. What is it for you? He's amazing. The people. You are the church. And the generosity of this church is amazing. But listen, we still need ushers. At every service, we're short on ushers. I'm told that we need greeters at every service. I'm told that we need parking attendants. We just made the announcement 3 months ago for parking attendants. You guys remember that announcement? We need people to sign up to be parking lot attendants. One person signed up. You want to know why? because everybody else thought that the other person was signing up. First responders. We have a first responders ministry in a church this size on a Sunday. Somebody passes out, somebody faints, there's a stroke, there's diabetes, something happens. We need first responders to step up. We need multimedia people, operate cameras, work on internet stuff, helping us out with Facebook thingies or whatever we're doing. I don't know exactly how that works. But we need help, I'm told. I'm told that we need children's ministry helpers, both for children's ministry, Wednesdays and Sundays, but also for special events. I didn't know we needed this one. We need toy cleaners. I thought we had dishwashers for the baby toys. You know, baby toys in children's ministry, they're sucking and licking on those things. And you got to wash them. But we're shorthanded. I said, we need baby toy cleaners. I think we got to have 20 dishwashers and throw them in there, but I guess we can't do that. I thought we were doing that, but we're not doing that. We need all kinds of help, you guys. And then finally this, and I'm way over, but too bad, I'm going for it. And it's this, and number four is that generous, God has been generous to provide tools. See, tools. Yeah, you know what? Tools. Your life and my life and the influences that you have in your world and my world, we have different influences in our world that you and I live in. Guess what? Consider your life from this moment on, if you haven't already, as a toolbox. You are a walking, moving toolbox. And inside the toolbox of the influence of your life, you have time, treasure, and talent. And what are we doing with them? What are we doing those things? This is a big deal. Let me let you in on an investment secret. The world is falling apart. God's kingdom is just fine. Here's the thing. If this is your church, you think about this. I can send $10 to IBM, and that's not a bad thing to do. But here's what you would think. You would think, first, I need to have knowledge about what I'm going to invest in. Everybody does. You study on what you're going to invest in. Number two, you step out in faith. You assume IBM is going to be here next month. That used to be a safe assumption. Okay? Then you make a sacrifice. You had $25? You could have spent it on your family for dinner. But you sent it to IBM and buying stock. And you make a sacrifice. And then the fourth thing is you be patient, because it takes time. And the world today is near unto bankruptcy because the world didn't produce. And yet every person who's invested in the kingdom of God, their treasure's been laid up in heaven where moth and rust cannot defile and thieves cannot break in and steal. Everything's going fine in God's economy. And I have invested in this world and lost thousands of my private money. But not one penny of what I've invested in the kingdom of God has lost one bit of value. It's only been multiplied by the grace of God. And when I talk about tools, your time, some of you are more senior and you've got time. Listen, there are young kids who don't have grandparents and they would love to sit down with you. And you're thinking, they don't want to talk to me. They're dying to talk to someone who's got gray hair, who can speak wisdom into their lives. Well, you know what? I've got time on my hands. I don't know what to do. Come on down to the church. Get on over to Haiti to the missions camp. Sign up for the next trip to Russia or to whatever. Come and help water the plants in the courtyard. There's always something. What are you and how are you investing your time, your treasure, and your talents? The East Wing building, I told you, will not go into debt. That's got to be done cash, but we're short. If you're sitting here today and say, man, I just lost a gazillion dollars with that company and that corporation or that investment, I'm done with that. I'm going to invest in the things of God. Then I want to challenge you. If we're not teaching the Word of God, then don't invest here. If we're goofing off and being stupid and blowing it, then don't invest here. But if God is showing his favor and he's bringing things to us and he's blessing what was little is now big and what's big will be bigger for the kingdom of God to the glory of Jesus. When you see families lined up here with little babies being cranked out, that's the future. And I'm going to ask you, as I said earlier, to join me that if the Lord doesn't come back, we leave the next generation of kids, we leave our junior high and high school and our college and career pastors a church that is liberated from the restraints of this world so that they can focus in a hostile world the presentation of Jesus. And they don't have to be distracted with all the shenanigans that we've had to put up with and having a church be assembled underneath our feet. God called us to lay the groundwork. Let's hand it to the next generation. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray, dear God, that today we could mark our calendars and it would be a day that should you grant us time, we would look and say, wow, look what's happened since that day. Lord, you are great. And Father, I pray right now, while heaven's listening, we boldly pray this prayer, Lord, that whatever you've done thus far is simply preparation for what you're about to do. And may we watch it. May we see it. May we be, Lord, able to boast of greater things because you are on your throne and you have never abandoned us. Lord, meet every need. Lord, teach us and show us that when we give unto you for your glory, that we're making the greatest investment. And right now, I pray that if you're here today and you don't know the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, you need to make that your first investment in your own soul forever. Jesus paid a debt that you could never pay, my friend. He went from heaven to earth to the cross and died in your place. He literally canceled the bill, the mortgage of sin against your life. Jesus came and he paid it. You want to talk about bailout? Jesus bailed you and I out of hell by going to the cross for our sins. My friend, that's your first step today. You accept Jesus Christ today, right now, right where you're at. You can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash my life fresh. Make me as white as snow. Clear my conscience. Clear my past. Give me that new life. Give me that thing that Jesus said, I must be born again. I want to be born again. I want to start life over again. I want to walk with God now. You tell him that, my friend, and watch what he does. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Church, let's stand as we close.